Right now, joining me in the studio, Kevin Long, long-range weather forecaster, released his winter forecast, funny enough, because it is the 6th of June. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning to all those people enjoying the rain.
Yeah, well, it's been a very welcome start to June, or end to May anyway. I suppose that, well, let's stick straight to the forecast then, straight into it. What's going to happen over the next 2 or 3 months, according to Kevin Long?
Look, I'm not as optimistic as the Bureau is at the moment because there's a mass amount of cold water to the east of Australia. Stretches out about 1,000, 1,500 kilometres and goes from Townsville right down to Hobart.
Okay, and
cold, really bad, yeah.
Cold water to the east of central Victoria in the Murray-Darling Basin, what does that do?
Well, that creates a block of to stop the moisture coming in from the Pacific, because it's basically cold, dry air falling out of the high altitudes over that area, and then that flows over the eastern part of Australia, and it's generally dry.
However, southern Australia looks kind of warm as far as sea surface temperature goes. So, you know, just off the southwest coast of Perth, for example, there's a warm spot, and even south of Tassie it's a bit warm. Is that any hope at all?
That's a little hope, but if you look further south, there's a lot more cold water, and that's part of our problem also. The Antarctic has just had a 52% growth in the amount of sea ice floating around Antarctica at the end of summer over the last 2 years.
And you've been looking at correlations between ice in Antarctica and rainfall in southern Australia?
Yeah, rainfall in eastern Australia, or the Murray-Darling Basin more in particular. It would appear to me that most times when you have low levels of ice around Antarctica, you have high rainfall. And that was the case 2 years ago when we had our record high rainfall. And in the last 2 years, it's gone from a record low to a record high. So it looks like the low sunspot activity is now starting to have some effects, and we're seeing an acceleration of the growth rate of ice around Antarctica. And news to all those people that have been listening on the radio, the Antarctic sea ice has been growing for the last 34 years. It's been growing at the rate of 4% per decade.
But that's been a bit up and down. It hasn't been a straight line.
I know. It goes up and down on a cyclic manner. Basically, with the El Niño-La Niña cycles, it goes up and down. And that's because we get extra heat fed off the equator again into the southern system.
So, and that's the whole thing. You like the correlation between warm ocean water, which melts ice, and rainfall.
That's right. The warmer the ocean, the higher the humidity in the area. And if you've got warm oceans south of Australia, you have higher humidities, and that helps the cold front systems.
One thing you said, Kevin, which I suppose brings us right back to the nub of forecasting weather into the future, is that most times when there's growth in ice, there's a reduction. There's a whole heap of other things at play as well. So it's always a challenge to bring together sea surface temperature, ice, impacts of other things like what's happening in the Indian Ocean with the dipole there. Those sorts of things also have a reckoning, don't they?
Yes. The tricky thing this year is the Indian Ocean dipole is as good as it's been for Australia for many, many years. And hence, we had that really big jet stream that came through in the last couple of days of autumn and the first few days of winter, which got our season underway. And without that jet stream, we'd be looking very sad today. also, the Pacific has got the early formation of the next La Nina, but it's been trying to form for 9-10 months now and hasn't got, you know, over the line yet. So it could fall over and go back the other way before it does any more.
So on a knife edge, could it ipso facto then also fall the other way and actually form the La Nina instead?
Yes, it could. It could very well go. But the graphs are showing a little turn in that direction, but not very much.
And that's the challenge then. How can you sort of predict the next 2 or 3 months when you don't know whether or not the index will increase or decrease for the Southern Oscillation Index?
Okay, well, there's a third big negative that we have operating with us this year, and that is we don't have any planets coming past Earth, close to Earth, during the growing season or during the spring. And I believe that that will tip it back into the dry mode. And we're at the peak of the southern air tide this weekend. And from this weekend, it starts to drop away. And by the time we get through July, we'll be getting back into the dry transition phase, which covers August, September and October this year. So those months are very likely to have long dry spells in them.
Kevin, you're very blithely using these words, the southern air tide, which I don't think is that common a phrase. Explain what you mean.
Yes. When the moon and the sun is in the northern hemisphere together, as they will be this coming Saturday, that's new moon low in the sky, it drags air from south of Australia up into Australia and helps to enhance the southern cold front systems. And that's why south of the Divide this weekend, next week, will have possibly their best rainy period for this winter. And 6 months away from that, the northeast air tide is developed, and that's developed when the moon and the sun is high over Australia. In other words, the moon is in the southern part of its declination and the sun is going over Australia at the same time.
And that means that it will not be having that dragging effect from south to north?
No, it'll at that time it drags it from the equator down through Queensland, New South Wales, and feeds into our systems. And then during that part of the phase, if it's in phase, our thunderstorms are very strong. So that's why I say first week of November, first week of December, and the last week of December are likely to be high periods for thunderstorms.
Where can I find out more about air tides? Because we don't hear the Bureau talking about them very much, Kevin. Which parts of the world are studying those?
I'm sorry, but I don't think you'll find the Bureau looking at those, because they only want to look at their meters.
Okay, so but you're not the only person talking about them, Kevin. I guess is what I'm trying to say. So where do you find sort of the research that shows that they work?
Okay, Ken Ring from New Zealand has been on this subject for a long time, and he has his own website. I just can't remember the name of it, but if you look up
Ring, as in Lord of the.
Yes.
Yep.
Ken Ring, the Moon Man from New Zealand. He is right into this lunar air tide cycles. And he brings out books on it.
Okay. So I guess that we're saying that of all the three factors, they don't seem to be lining up terribly well. So your thought for the next 3 months?
My thoughts is we'll get about 50 or 60% rainfall over the next 6 weeks. We might even get a little bit better than that, but then it'll drop away. And our big risk is going to be the crops not making to maturity.
Okay, so the next 2 or 3 months looking okay, but then, well, what comes in the spring to finish them off? That's the big question, which hopefully you'll be able to answer in 3 months.
Yes, we'll have to wait and see.
Kevin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.